So again, in the reaction to the plague, we can see how the Athenians accepted the role that the gods played in their lives. They thought this was divine. And then they thought, we've got nothing to lose, so let's just do whatever we want. Tomorrow, we're likely to die. Athenian society became anarchic then. Now, the Athenians wanted to sue for peace, and we can't blame them. But Pericles persuaded them otherwise. Even in these dire times, he was able to persuade the masses not to appeal for peace. And when the plague broke out in Athens, the Peloponnesian army withdrew back home. It no doubt wanted to steer well clear of becoming infected. So that was a bit of a minor plus, and it worked in Pericles' favor. However, a great blow was about to fall on Athens. And that was in 429, the next year, when Pericles died of the plague. And his death opens the door now to the new politicians coming to the forefront in Athenian political life, the non-noble demagogues, of whom Cleon is the first. Now, by 428 or so, the plague had run its course. Its effect on Athens may have had a bearing on the revolt of Mytilene on the island of Lesbos. And this revolt broke out in 428, and it's what I want to discuss in the last part of this lecture. Mytilene was a major naval power, and it would seem that it was finding Athenian authority and having to pay tribute to the city rather irksome. It wanted to have its autonomy back, complete autonomy. Now, despite being on their knees, which they were, the Athenians managed to deploy a fleet that blockaded Mytilene. And to offset a shortage of money, the Athenians raised the allied tribute, the allied pharos. These measures were perhaps the work of Cleon, the first of the so-called rhetores, who, as we say, come to prominence in the vacuum left by Pericles. Now, Mytilene capitulated after a pretty lengthy siege in 427. Afterwards, the Athenians held an assembly to decide what to do. It was decided on the motion of Cleon to kill all the male Mytileneans and to sell the women and children into slavery. And so the Athenian assembly gave orders that a trireme carrying this terrible order should be sent to the commander of the Athenian force at Mytilene, and off it went. Now, this punishment was terrible, sure, but it was understandable. Technically, the oath of eternal allegiance meant that no ally had the right to leave the Delian League. And at this critical time for Athens, given the plague, we can understand why it was even more important to set an example so that other allies didn't revolt. But overnight, Thucydides tells us, the Athenians had a change of heart. So the next day, they called another assembly meeting to debate the punishment again. Now, apparently, the same speakers from the previous day spoke again on this second day. Thucydides gives us the speeches of Cleon and his opponent Diodotus from this second debate. Cleon, for example, said it was necessary to make an example of what would happen to any revolting ally to stop future revolts. These, he argued, would affect Athenian security and prosperity. The Athenians, he said, had an empire that they had acquired by force, and they needed to hold on to it in any way they could. He even calls the Athenian Empire a tyranny. When he says, and I quote here, "Your empire is a tyranny exercised over subjects who do not like it, and they are always plotting against you. You will not make them obey you by injuring your own interests in order to do them a favor. Your leadership depends on superior strength and not on any goodwill of theirs." He urged the people not to go back on what they decided on the previous day. And in fact, he berated them for even thinking about changing their minds now.